The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to start the show and talk about the sports we saw. Inside jokes and takes from Danger and Battaglia. Bills and the Sabres and the Amherst. Who gave a microphone to these jerks? Timer, a social misfit. Clueless to the title of the biggest bus gang hits. Chuck Munchie's goons have the last say. So
thanks for your time, Mr. Mayo.
Danger likes his cold ones and he likes his bears. But this is Rochester, cute princessa.
Normal kiss.
He's critical of Sean, he's critical of Al.
Of course he married Sandy, cause she's Italian.
Good day to you as we welcome you on into Rochester's only local sports talk show. You found the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia, and we appreciate you listening along at 95.7 FM, AM 950, the free-to-download Odyssey app. You can even watch the Sports Bar video stream up on our YouTube channel, at The Fan Rochester, also streaming on Twitch, at The Fan Rochester. And you can hear us on your smart device when you ask it to play 95.7 The Fan. How are you, Gino?
I remember, like, when Dave Letterman, I was a Letterman guy watching, and when he moved to his new studio, everyone always complained about how cold it was.
When he moved to CBS from NBC?
At the Ed Sullivan Theater?
That's right.
We have the opposite problem here, The Fan here. Our new studio, Danger. It's like, wait a second, the heat isn't on, but what is going on with the circulation?
A little toasty.
Yeah,
a little toasty
here.
In here. So we leave the door open, and maybe we'll get some air to come in and circulate. And look, this isn't like a new thing in our building. It's an old building. And if you've ever come to the studios at High Falls, I think we have people from out of town in today in our offices, and they walk around and they're like, wow, this is really cool. Exposed brick. It's a really kind of environment that appears conducive to creativity, and I would agree with that. And a lot of times, because it's an old building, some studios are cold, some studios are hot, the ventilation isn't perfect. I know there are some days where if you're in my office upstairs on the second floor, it can be freezing cold. It could also be scorching hot, right? And it just so happens that we're in a studio now, for some reason, we're not really getting any air in here. Like, the thermostat on the wall is, but that's not the biggest. The thermostat on the wall isn't even on. I don't even know. Like, it got disconnected or something.
That's
the bigger issue is that we don't have our TV today. Let's be honest.
Oh,
I mean, the bigger issue is,
I was working my way to that. Wait a second. How is the TV not working? We just put that up.
Do we think Dan didn't do something right, or Dan got something mixed up? I mean, it was working fine when we left here yesterday.
Who was in last night? Well, there was a Sabre game last night. Mm-hmm. Did anybody mess around with this? Was somebody watching a movie?
Are there ghosts in the machine?
Yeah.
Are there ghosts in the machine? No, no matter. I mean, we're fine. We're comfortable. We're going to power through the afternoon here on The Fan Rochester. We're glad you're along for the ride, and we have a great show lined up for you. We're going to talk Some World Series baseball with Jim Riley, our buddy from the Barreled Up podcast, Ball Cap Sports, the Odyssey exclusive Barreled Up podcast. He stops by the sports bar at 425.
Yeah, Yankee fans, you got to be fired up, right? Like, and even if you're not a Yankee fan, you have to be fired up if you're a baseball fan. Maybe they're not your teams. Maybe you're a Red Sox fan. But you have to recognize what this is going to do for this sport. And the question I have for Jim is, hey, the NLCS drew a good number, despite the fact that all those games are bad. They were all blowouts.
Yeah.
Could we actually get some good baseball? Or are the Dodgers just kind of built in a way that they're just going to mosh on you, and then when they're going to a bullpen game, maybe it's not their night, and we get another six-game series where nothing is close? We'll talk about that. We'll talk about some of these off-season issues, and we've got these unsettled situations also in Sacramento and also Tampa.
Yeah. Well, he's got his finger on the pulse, and he talks to a lot of insiders throughout the league. So Jim Riley of the Barreled Up podcast will be stopping by, and we'll talk some World Series and other Major League Baseball affairs coming up later on this afternoon in the sports bar. Later this hour, let's get some winners. We'll be joined by the host of Send It In on the BetQL Network and Odyssey Sports betting insider, P.J. Glasser, with his favorite plays from college and pro football this weekend and insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app.
It's Wednesday here in the sports
there.
I see
what you did there.
Like, yeah, it's a sneaky good game, Navy-Notre Dame.
Right? Right?
Does that feel like a de facto playoff game?
Kind of does.
Yeah, because if you're Notre Dame and you... Yeah, I don't know. Certainly for Navy. If Navy loses this one, I don't know if they get in with one loss.
Agreed. But they've been impressive. Army has been impressive, obviously. And we'll get PJ's take on what Navy, what kind of a threat Navy may pose to Notre Dame this weekend. And, of course, we'll talk some NFL as well. We'll talk Bills and Seahawks and get his lean on the Bills as they travel to the Pacific Northwest on Sunday. So PJ Glasser stops by here in about 20 minutes or so. We can take your calls at any point this afternoon. You want to pull up a stool and join us. That number is 866-4FAN, 585-866-4326. We're also on Elon's Twitter. That's X, at the Fan Rochester, if you want to engage with us there. We're happy to read your tweets as well.
I was trying to figure out, like, normally you don't get breaking news and sports in the 6 a.m. hour, but we had that today with the Hopkins trade. Now, it became official there, and there was some contract stuff. I was figuring, like, why? Oh, I get it. You're Kansas City, even though it's the Raiders. You really need DeAndre Hopkins to beat the Raiders? The answer is no. Chiefs would go in there, and if they are who they are, they should win this game. And I would expect actually that to be a very pro Kansas City atmosphere coming up at Allegiant Stadium on Sunday. But I can understand why they want to get Hopkins in there as soon as possible. So rather than waste another day, get the, as Sean McDermott would call it, onboarding process, and you get Hopkins in there. To me, though, if you're giving up a mid-round pick, a fifth, could be a fourth. It's just a flyer at this point.
Well, I think what Hopkins can be for the Kansas City Chiefs in 2024 is probably similar to what MVS was for the Kansas City Chiefs in 2022. I don't think you're going to get the DeAndre Hopkins that we all remember. And I was trying to think, like, when was the last time DeAndre Hopkins had, like, a standout game or made a play that, you know, you just remember? It's been a while, right? Like, we all remember the Hail Mary when he was still with Arizona. And since then, obviously, you know, now playing with the Titans, didn't do anything last week against the Bills. In fact, more sulking on the sideline than making plays on the field. And it was pretty clear he didn't want to be a part of whatever Tennessee was throwing out there. What does he have left? I think he probably has something left to offer. Otherwise, Kansas City wouldn't have an interest in him. And Patrick Mahomes is certainly an upgrade than Mason Rudolph or Will Levis.
Yeah, it's funny. And I think part of it is because do we care or pay any attention to Tennessee Titan football as we do other teams. Hopkins did go off a few games last year. The one I do remember, he had three touchdowns, 128 yards, and a win over Atlanta, a back-and-forth game. That was the game where, oh, maybe there is something to Will Levis. It was this time last year, 140 yards against the Colts last year. That Monday night game in Miami. Do you remember that one where, wait a second, the Dolphins are going to win the division? No, they're not. Here comes crummy Tennessee.
Yeah.
Seven catches, buck 24, and a touchdown. So we saw him pop, and maybe it's just the 1,000-yard season doesn't mean as much anymore because he posted 1,000 yards with Tennessee last year. But I'm watching him.
That's funny. That stats is staggering to me.
Yeah.
If you told me that he had a 1,000-yard receiving season last year with Tennessee, I'd say you're lying.
No, 75 catches, 1,057 yards, 7 touchdowns.
So that right there, I look, he's not what he was. We all see it. We all recognize it. I know some people will say, he's washed. He's not fast. Can't do it. But just knowing that he had 1,000 yards just last year in that situation with that awful quarterback situation that Tennessee had last season and this season, I tend to believe there might be something there. Can he separate the way he used to? Of course not. He's not going to be as fast. But if you're Patrick Mahomes and you're throwing up prayers, can he go up and get it? Yeah, I think that's probably what's left in his game.
Okay. Compare this to last year where Kansas City was, where they were relying on a knucklehead named Kadarius Toney. Like Kadarius Toney lining up in the wrong spot, to the point where like, okay, it's a Super Bowl. I don't care if you're Taylor or not. You're not here. You're at least bringing in a pro. But I think our eyes tell us, at least watching Hopkins this past week. In fact, I'll credit Johnny Boxspring for texting me this. He texted me during the game. Is he trying to get traded? Well, if he was, credit DeAndre Hopkins.
Well. There's also something funny about this move when you look at Kansas City and their roster as it exists right now. If you went back 7 seasons, if you went back to the 2017 season, at this point of the season, the leading rusher in the NFL was?
2017 season?
Mm-hmm. The leading rusher in the NFL at this point of the 2017 season was on the Kansas City Chiefs roster. His name was Kareem Hunt. Leading wide receiver, leading receiver for in the tight end group, more receptions than any other tight end at the time was Travis Kelce. And the leading receiver in the NFL in the 2017 season at this time was a player named DeAndre Hopkins.
What
you basically have done here, if you're Kansas City, is you've brought back a super roster from 7 seasons ago. What do they have left? That's what remains to be seen. But I look at it, and if you're in Kansas City, if you're a Chiefs fan, you probably view it very similar to how we view the Amari Cooper deal. It's a low-risk, potentially high-reward move. I don't think there's any harm in bringing in DeAndre Hopkins. I think Cooper Kupp would have been a better fit.
Cooper Kupp would have been like, oh, no.
You're right.
That would have been our I'll see your Cooper. Excuse me, your Cooper, and I'm going to bring in Cooper Kupp. That would have had us kind of nervous. To me, I don't even think this is matching Amari Cooper. I think DeAndre Hopkins at this point, I would put Amari Cooper ahead of him. I just rattled off these stats he had last year, but let's be honest, Tennessee was not a good football team, and they're throwing for, they were 6-11 last year. They're throwing from behind, so sometimes those numbers get skewed. But on the other hand, this was a glaring need for Kansas City, and it wouldn't surprise me at all, Danger, if this was not the end for the Chiefs, that maybe they also bring in Cooper Kupp, because if they're being honest with themselves, the way you beat Baltimore is this, and I thought about this. You got to just get up on top first. That's really what it is, and when Sean McDermott punted on that opening drive and like, no, don't do that. You have to score points. You have to kind of take Derrick Henry and that offense and put him in a different mode. And to me, if you're Kansas City, I know they play the Chiefs are great for one many reasons, but one of them being they can beat you in many different ways. I don't think that's the case this year. I think Baltimore's so good running the ball and being physical that you kind of win a different way.
It's funny. If you watch the game Monday night, Tampa did just that. But here's where Tampa made a mistake. Instead of going for touchdowns, they kicked a field goal. Instead of going up 14-0, they went up 10-0.
And then they're turning the ball over.
Of course, you have to play perfectly as well. If you're going to beat a good team like Baltimore or Kansas City, you have to play mistake-free. And Baker obviously made some mistakes that cost his team and changed the momentum of that game. So that's just a move. And there's still just under 2 weeks to go before we get to the NFL's trade deadline. I would anticipate that there will be more moves. Like, speaking of Tampa, what's your move? Because I think you have 3 healthy receivers on your roster. Are you going to make a move for one of these guys? And I know a lot of people will say guys like Deontay Johnson. I don't know that Deontay Johnson is on the market. We don't know you know, whether or not Carolina is going to move on from that after a short experiment. Cooper Kupp, of course, the reports are out there, is a second round pick too rich for a team like Tampa Bay's blood, for a receiver who can't stay on the field, who can't play a full season. These are the dilemmas of an NFL GM, and I really don't know if Cooper Kupp is going to go for that second rounder that they seem to be throwing out there.
Heck, if I'm the why are you saying second rounder, first rounder? Like if he shows up on Thursday night, like, hey, here's what he can look
like. We're buying ourselves a draft pick, is what they're saying. Yeah. We'll eat the salary of Cooper Kupp.
Yeah.
We just want a high draft pick, and we'll see if there's a team that bites on that. But whereas Cooper Kupp to Kansas City, I think would have had us all as fans sitting up a little bit more straight today. DeAndre Hopkins to me was a move. It was a necessary move if you're the Chiefs, but it's not a move that I just view as like, okay, well, that's it. Now they're back. I don't know. I need to see that first. And maybe the real expectation is there that Hopkins can free up Kelsey a little bit more, or make some of the other receivers, like in Buffalo with Amari Cooper, a little bit more easy for Patrick Mahomes to find with separation.
Yeah, it's funny how these teams right now, and maybe Tennessee did this in part, Danger, it's kind of like a secret tank, meaning, okay, they don't have a quarterback. They're one of these teams, Cleveland, flipping their wide receiver. I'm looking at all these last place teams as I'm looking for teams that should just kind of be honest with themselves and say, all right, time to sell here. Okay, well, let's look at the last place teams, the Patriots, but I don't know if there's anything you want on that roster. The Browns have already done that. The Titans have already done that. The Raiders did that with, you know, the Adams. You go over to the other conference, we're talking about the Panthers, we're talking about the Rams. The NFC North is an aberration. They're great, all mm-hmm. the teams there. Mm-hmm. And your Bears, last place, a 4-2, unbelievable. What team, what division did they leave out? What about the Giants? Shouldn't they be sellers? Why don't we hear about the Giants at this point selling? It just leads me to think, oh, maybe they're not, because their GM doesn't feel exactly safe, and nor should their head coach at this point.
Mm. Yeah, I get the sense that's going to be it for Shane and Daboll after this season. I mean, I believed it going into the season. I didn't like what I saw in the offseason out of Hard Knocks. They look like a dysfunctional organization. They weren't. Hard Knocks didn't do them any favors. Let's just put it that way. And then some of these moves, I mean, to see Saquon Barkley do what he did against the Giants has to be a bitter pill for the Mara family to swallow when you see how that all played out just last week. So
when you do it, hey fans, here's what you missed there.
Yeah, that's right. I just think that's a rough scene. And are they going to be sellers? Should they be sellers? Yeah. What exactly are you moving on from? Are you trying to make a trade for what? I mean, who are you? The Giants to me are very much like the Patriots. It's like, okay. I mean, the Patriots moved on from Judon. That was basically them selling before the season even started.
Good point.
Their best player.
You can always call us 866-4FAN, 866-4326. Chris in Rochester, what's up, buddy?
Hey, how's it going?
How
hey,
are you,
great show, guys.
Thank you.
Hey. So this is a fun time of the year, you know, just see where the great players are going to land on terrible teams. But if Detroit had any emphasis on trying to shore up that defense after Aiden Hutchinson went down, why are they not being in the market for like a Myles Garrett or somebody like that?
That's interesting.
You know what I mean?
Myles Garrett is a name that's been thrown out there. And if you're Cleveland and you're moving on from Myles Garrett,
That's a problem. It's weird. Cleveland at 1-6. Part of me doesn't want, of all the teams that are in last place, that's the one team. I'm like, I don't know. I want to see it with Winston this week.
Yeah,
like,
you're still a believer. Yeah. And we heard today out of Cleveland that Kevin Stefanski is going to cede play calling to Ken Dorsey.
Hey.
Ken Dorsey will now be the offensive play caller for the Cleveland Browns with famous Jameis as your starting quarterback. Chris, thanks for the call.
It's funny like how people will say, they'll complain about Brady, and then they will cite Brian Daboll. We just kind of skipped over the Ken Dorsey era of play calling in
right.
Buffalo. The Bills, by the way, have put out their injury report. Josh Allen, by the way, still listed on the injury report, left hand, for what it's worth. Full participant today. Terrell Bernard, boy, this is... this is a unique injury designation, ankle/pectoral/personal. a DNP. He was excused for personal reasons, but that ankle is a little bit of concern, and because he wasn't even in the building today, I can't tell you much about that. Daquan Jones, veterans rest, no big deal. Dawson Knox with an ankle, did not practice. Curtis Samuel with a pec, did not practice. And Dewan Smoot, not practicing with a groin, limited today. Dorian Williams, that's a good sign. Dalton Kincaid with a collarbone, limited. Taron Johnson, limited. Also limited, Mac Hollins and Damar Hamlin, as well as Dwayne Carter with various ailments. So that's a pretty full list of injuries.
You know what?
There.
Just, I know you're talking injuries, but just because you mentioned his name and we're talking about the trade deadline, Bills should try and get something for Curtis Samuel. Do you think anybody would take, if the Bills, how would you work that out where you could get something, anything in return for Curtis Samuel? Get on the phone with Tampa Bay, work something out.
That would be a stretch, right? You would be eating the money.
What is he doing? I mean, what are they doing with him? It just isn't, there's nothing there.
I don't know if there's nothing there or he's just an understudy, meaning you have a slot guy. And actually, you kind of have two. Number one being, actually, you have three if you want to count Kincaid, okay? Samuel is the end around. He's not the deep vertical threat that the Bills were thinking. Like, I always thought, okay, they're bringing him in. We're going to showcase him a different way. And no, that's not really it. He's not going to win on the sideline. He's not really separating all that much.
And he's injured now.
And he's injured.
And what is his injury? I wonder if his injury feels better if he gets traded to another team.
No, because he left that game. So this is a legit injury with a shoulder.
This is the shoulder.
So like he got injured, I want to say, in the third quarter, didn't come back. It's like, all right.
Well, it's a long and lengthy injury list that we'll keep tabs on here throughout the course of the week. And we'll not only talk Bills, Seahawks from the Bills' point of view for the rest of this week, we also will get some Seahawks coverage as well, as our buddy from the Locked On Seahawks podcast is scheduled to join us tomorrow afternoon here in the sports bar. That's Corbin Smith.
That is the one team, since we've been like kind of doing this show, I don't have my finger on the pulse here.
Honestly. I tell you, Seattle might as well be its own country. Like, it feels so isolated and hard to get to, yet magnificent. Like, nobody ever says anything bad about life in Seattle. It just feels like it's its own place. Like, it's its own, they have their own reality and they're their own country because of how isolated they are and kind of detached from everything else.
My initial thought, and I reserve the right to change, so I'm not moving any goalposts, but here's my initial thought on this game. It's a game where, all right, if the Bills are healthy and the Bills do what they're supposed to do, they should win this game. I think we all can kind of agree, but okay. Tell me about the health of linebackers. I can't tell you. Like, their middle linebacker wasn't there today. Dorian Williams. Are you feeling all that confident? So that's where I would start with that conversation. My concern number two is, does Leslie Frazier know where the bodies are buried when it comes to how to defend Josh Allen? I think that is a big concern. We kind of joke about the revenge game, and you know, wherever we sit. Well, I would think that Leslie Frazier, as defensive coordinator, would know. Okay, here's what we need to do against Josh Allen in this game.
Yeah. Well, if that's the case, then just run the ball. Lots of Ray Davis, lots of James Cook. Stop that. I mean, you know, out physical, the Seahawks beat them in the physical game.
That might be the case.
We'll get to PJ Glasser next. He is the host of Send It In on the BetQL Network. You can hear him in the free-to-download Odyssey app. You can watch the BetQL Network on YouTube and on Twitch as well. PJ will give us his favorite plays from this weekend's action in college and pro football next on The Fan Rochester.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Fan Rochester Sports Update.
It's a lengthy injury report for the Buffalo Bills. Highlighted the fact the middle linebacker Terrell Bernard excused today for personal reason. Bernard also dealing with ankle and pectoral injuries. Also not practicing today, wide receiver Curtis Samuel and DeJuan Smooth. Daquan Jones, defensive tackle, was given a Veterans Day of rest. For this matchup against Seattle, Sean McDermott says the D-line is key.
True every week. Every week it's a must. You know, that's how the game is. That's where the game is won every week, up front and defensive line, offensive line. You know, being great with our technique, being great with the strain. You know, you talk about their defensive line. They've got some guys that can flat out rush the passer, and very impressed by the tape.
Kansas City trading for DeAndre Hopkins. It's a fifth-round pick, could become a fourth. Got the Amherst tonight. They take on Cleveland. Gene Battaglia on the Sports Leader, the Fan Rochester.
Neat or on the rocks? It's the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, the Fan Rochester.
We're joined now by the host of Send It In, the BetQL Network, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider PJ Glasser. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. PJ, always great to have you on with us. Always great to get some wins after we talk to you on a Wednesday, as Gene has dubbed it. You gave us Georgia, you gave us Maryland last weekend. Looking forward to finding out and picking your brain about what you think about Saturday's action. And Texas and Vanderbilt is a game that we have highlighted. See exactly what Texas does to rebound from that loss to Georgia. Well, how are you,
Pete? Wait, can I do the PJ thing?
Don't insult our guest right out of the game. You're going to insult our guest right out of the game.
No. I'm like, Danger, great to be with you guys. Gene, I love Texas in a bounce back spot. PJ, how are you today? I'm not insulting you, am I?
Guys, I don't even know why you have me on the show. Gene's got me down. I mean, it's pretty good. Nah, good to be with you guys, man. We were, Georgia came through for us last week, but we're going to be on Texas this week against Vandy. You know, for all the reasons that everybody loved Texas last week against Georgia. You know, a lot of people feel like they have the best offensive line in the country. All the weapons that they have at receiver, their defense has been excellent this season. I mean, look, we got Georgia as a dog last week. You know, like, regardless of who they were going to play, Georgia was going to show up and they were going to look really, really good. But because of how great Vandy's been as an underdog this year, they beat Bama outright, they beat Kentucky outright, they beat Virginia Tech outright, they played Missouri really tough. I mean, they've been great in this spot all season, and now everybody sees Vandy with another big number, getting 18.5. But, you know, as good as some of these other teams are, guys, Texas is going to be the best team that they've played, and they're getting Texas off of a loss. They're getting them, you know, off of a bad performance against the Dogs last week. So I like Texas. Anything under 3 touchdowns, you know, I'd take them up to 20.5. I'd lay it with the Longhorns this week. I think they bounce back in a big way.
We got another one of these conference games in name only, I suppose. Feels weird here, but Indiana. I don't know what to make of this Indiana team. You get Washington coming in. PJ, is this a game where you can find some value? How would you play this?
I like the Huskies, guys, and this is just one of those games, and it's so tough to do when you're betting, right? Because last week, Indiana was laying 6.5 against Nebraska, and for anybody that took Nebraska, I mean, the last thing you want to do is come back the very next week and fade this Indiana team that's been an absolute wagon. I mean, they're 6-1 against the spread. They're 7-0 straight up. Their quarterback's not going to be playing this week, Curtis Rourke, so they're going to go with their backup, Kaven Jackson, which is why this line is under the 7. I just think, you know, last week everybody, a lot of smart people were looking to fade Indiana because their schedule was a little bit soft. They thought Nebraska off of a bye week with a very good defense was the game to fade them. Well, Indiana beats them by like 50, and now nobody's going to want to fade them again. It just feels like the perfect storm, though, this week, because, guys, I love when it's like everybody's looking forward to fading a team, and it feels like everybody's in on that game, and then it doesn't work out, and then the very next week everybody's out on it, right? It feels like nobody wants to come back with Washington this week. College game day is in Bloomington this year. It reminds me very similar to last year when Kurt Cignetti, who's the head coach at Indiana, was at JMU last season. The Dukes were undefeated. College game day goes to Harrisonburg, Virginia, and then they lose outright to Appalachian State. It was their only loss all year in the regular season. And now here we go again with a Kirk Cignetti team, undefeated. College game day's coming. Everybody's starting to talk about what potentially could be for the Hoosiers down the road. You know, Big Ten title game, college football playoff. They have a road trip to Ohio State coming up in the middle of November. Washington, I know they have three losses on the season, but they're a solid team. They got a good running game. Their defense is pretty good as well. I think they can keep that game close, guys, and I'd maybe take some money line as well.
All right, we got a big test ahead for the midshipmen. Navy still undefeated, and Notre Dame the opponent this weekend, PJ. Which direction are you leaning here?
Yeah, I mean, what a great story these military academies are, right? Navy and Army both undefeated. Again, Navy guys, even though they haven't lost a game this year, like, who have they played? I mean, it's been Bucknell, it's been Temple, it's been Tulsa, it's been Charlotte. I mean, they're just playing a bunch of nobodies. And now you're getting Notre Dame, who's one of the best defenses in the country. Reason I love this game, guys, I'll never forget it. I was watching a Navy-Notre Dame game a couple years ago, in Marcus Freeman's first year with the Irish as head coach. And on the broadcast, they talked about how when Marcus Freeman was a defensive coordinator at Cincinnati, one of the years his defenses gave up 500 yards of total offense to Navy. And they were talking about how Marcus Freeman never forgot that game. It always scarred him, and he always takes it personal whenever he goes up against Navy. Well, now he gets to go up against Navy again. His defense, two of the last 3 years, has given up 6 points and 3 points to Navy offense. And it's a big game, obviously. I mean, they're undefeated. Notre Dame cannot afford to lose this game, or else they're going to be out of the playoff with a loss to Northern Illinois and Navy. So I just think it's such a step up in class for Navy. I think they're going to have a tough time scoring on this Notre Dame defense. They're going to have their full attention. And ever since that game against Cincinnati, when Freeman was the defensive coordinator, he's always made sure that he's had his teams ready to go up against the triple option. So give me Notre Dame. Navy's going to be a trendy underdog on Saturday. I think it's fool's gold. I like the Irish.
We're talking to PJ Glass, your host of Send It In on the BetQL Network. How about another team that is undefeated? I don't know if they're good or not, PJ. That would be BYU. Now, you look at their resume so far. Okay, they've beaten a couple ranked teams, SMU by three. They beat K-State. They beat Baylor. But now they go to Central Florida. BYU 7-0. UCF is 3-4. But yet, BYU is getting the points here. This looks too good to be true. Am I reading this correctly? What are your thoughts here on BYU against UCF?
Not at all, Gene. I mean, you just said the handicap right there. Not only is BYU 7-0 straight up this season, they're 7-0 against the spread. They're the number 11 team in the country going up against unranked and 3-4 UCF. And they're underdogs. This line opened at BYU -2.5, and now it's swung midweek to UCF being the favorite. And we know that that's professional money coming in on UCF. Sometimes, guys, it's just really simple, and you just trust the line movement, and the line kind of tells you who's going to win the game. Don't overthink this one. Take UCF. BYU, I mean, they're not going to cover every single spread. They're not going to win every single game. I think odds makers and the professionals are kind of telling you that this game on paper might look like an upset, but on the betting lines, UCF is the favorite. So love the Knights, probably my favorite bet of the week at -1.5.
All right, let's shift gears and go over to the NFL and our weekend of action here. And we're talking a lot of Bills and Seahawks, as you'd imagine. PJ, as the Bills travel to the Pacific Northwest, fresh off of their win against Tennessee, and Seattle with an impressive win against Atlanta. Which way are you leaning here with the Seahawks and the Bills?
guys, we got the Bills going up against Geno this week. It's going to be a good one. I don't know about you guys. This line for me is head-scratching, right? So sometimes I like playing the game where I like flipping a game and looking at it if it was reversed. So in this case, if the game was in Buffalo, right? They're telling us that right now the Bills are 3.5-point favorites in Seattle. Well, if you flip this line and Seattle was playing in Buffalo, the line would be 7.5, right? You give 2 points for home field. So if a neutral site game, it'd be 5.5. You put it in Buffalo, it's 7.5. Well, last week when the Bills played the Titans, Bills were 8.5-point favorites in that game. You're telling me the Bills, when they go up, you're telling me the Titans and the Seahawks are 1-point difference? I don't get this line. I think Buffalo wins the game, but, man, it feels like a lot of value there with the Seahawks now that we're getting the hook, too. I know DK Metcalf might not play, and that's obviously a big deal. But you look at the Bills this year, and I'm sure you guys, I mean, you know, like, they're beating the teams that they're supposed to beat, right? Their wins are all against teams that have a losing record. You know, they've beaten the Titans, they've beaten the Jags, the Dolphins, and their two losses this year are against the Ravens and the Texans. Now, the Seahawks, I certainly think, are in a class below Baltimore and Houston, but I think they're above every team that they've played as well, which is, I think, why they win, but I don't think they cover the 3.5. So I just think we're getting too much value here on the Seahawks. I'll take the points with Seattle on Sunday.
PJ, a change of quarterback out of necessity in Cleveland, where the Ravens, the line I'm looking at right now, Ravens going on the road minus the 9, and before you came on, we were discussing the Browns at 1-6. Are we ready to count their year over here, or does the new start here with a new quarterback, and now Ken Dorsey is going to be taking over the play calling, is that enough there to get you to take the points in the Browns this week?
I like the Browns plus the points. I mean, how can you not like them with Jameis over Watson? You know, we saw what they looked like last year with kind of a gunslinger and Flacco, and obviously took them all the way to the playoffs. And now they're kind of getting the same thing with Jameis. There's going to be some good, there's going to be some bad, but I think it's going to help them a lot throughout the rest of the season. Obviously, no more Amari Cooper. We'll see if over the next couple of weeks the Browns continue to trade off pieces. But, guys, it just feels like a good time to fade the Ravens a little bit. You know, their offense has been so hot and they've been so on fire. And now you get them in a divisional road game at 1 p.m. And I can just tell you, as a Ravens fan, these games kind of always tend to go the same way. Lamar and the Ravens usually win in Cleveland, but it feels like one of those games where they always get off to a slow start. Like, it's always like 7-3, 10-3 at halftime. And then in the second half, they start to open it up a little bit. So I actually like the first half under. That's my favorite play in this game at 21.5. Obviously, it's a short week for Baltimore, coming off another great offensive performance against Tampa Bay. And just with the divisional matchup, Cleveland being at home, I think they're going to muck this game up a little bit, keep it ugly. And with Jameis, you know, going instead of Deshaun Watson, I think he'll be able to move the ball a little bit more. Obviously, a nice matchup for him going up against this Ravens secondary. So maybe flipping field position a little bit. The Browns haven't scored 20 points, guys, in any game this season. They're the only offense to do that so far. So I like that first half under 21.5.
Hey, Doug Peterson gets to keep his job for another week as the Jags return from London after dispatching of the Patriots and splitting their London series there. Green Bay, the opponent, PJ. And if you're circling this one, I have to imagine it's because you think there might be some value there with the Jags. What are your thoughts?
I do, Danger. I do. And it's really just all a fade about Green Bay and the spot for them. Obviously, coming off a nice win against Houston, game-winning field goal. But next week, guys, I mean, they got a big one with Detroit at home in Green Bay. So that's going to be a monster game. And all you got in between is this road game against the two-win Jags, who obviously have been struggling this season. Now, I know a lot of people might be a little bit nervous about the spot for Jacksonville coming home from London, but keep in mind they did this last year where they played back-to-back weeks out in London and then came back. Last year they won and covered as favorites against Indianapolis. So I think if there's any team equipped to do this, it is Jacksonville because they go out to London every single year. But Green Bay historically has not been good in the state of Florida when Rodgers was there. They would always struggle against the Jags and the Bucks and the Dolphins, and it's just never been a state that's been good to them. They always struggle against these Florida teams. So I like Jacksonville. It feels like a line that probably should be 3.5, but because of how well these favorites and these road favorites have been doing the last couple weeks, we're getting some value here on Jacksonville, and Green Bay is 4.5. So I think this could be a little bit of a sleepy, trappy spot for Green Bay. How can they not be looking ahead to that showdown with Detroit next week? So I'll take the points here with the Jags.
Yeah, PJ, another game that, honestly, I don't know how you're going to pick this one. Texans coming off a loss to Green Bay. They're back home taking on the Colts. Already these two teams met one another back in week one. It's actually the Colts getting 5. I think most of us would think, hey, the Texans should win this game, but is 5 points too many, PJ?
It is, Gene. I mean, look, the Texans are 5-2 this year, guys, but they have a negative point differential, and all 5 of their wins have been by one score. Like, they're not blowing anybody out. Keep in mind, too, they've already played the Colts this season. So, I mean, we know in the NFL, it's tough to beat a team 2 times. So that's really just part of the handicap. You know, it's the second time Indianapolis is getting a look at them, and the fact that Houston is not blowing anybody out. So in a divisional game, you know, this line's already moved from 6.5 to 6. Now it's down to 5. I like Indianapolis to keep this game close. They played week one, and that was by far Anthony Richardson's best game of the season. So this matchup against Houston, he really exploited it in week one. Now Indianapolis gets to see him again without Nico Collins. I like the Colts guys here, plus the points. You know, these underdogs are going to start coming around again. We saw how well they were doing the first 3 or 4 weeks. Then obviously the last 2 weeks, these favorites have just been going on a crazy run. I think the underdogs are going to start picking up here. It feels like the favorites, there's a little too much value right now on these underdogs. It feels like these lines are a little bit overvalued just because of how these road teams and how these favorites have been doing. So a lot of dogs this week that I like, a lot of home underdogs, and the Colts being one of the road dogs that I like this week at +5.
We have reached the sports equinox on the calendar, PJ. We've got NBA action, which got underway last night. The NHL is in full swing, of course, the NFL, and we still have the World Series to contend with. It all gets underway Friday. We know the lineup, obviously. We know the matchup, the Yankees and the Dodgers. And while we have you, when we have Game 1 coming up on Friday night, we'd have to get a sense of which way you're leaning here for this series.
I like the Dodgers, guys. I thought that the Dodgers and the Padres were the two best teams, and I thought whoever won that series was going to win the World Series. So the Dodgers obviously advance. They take care of the Mets, who a lot of people felt like were the team of destiny. They had a great thing going. And, I mean, just watching that series, the Dodgers were the far superior team. And, you know, the Yankees, it feels like up to this point, they've really gotten fortunate. You had to figure the Orioles and the Astros were probably the two teams that would have given them the toughest series. Obviously, both of those teams get knocked out in the wild card round. And then it was basically just the Yankees versus the AL Central. It was the Tigers, Guardians, and Royals. They dispose of the Royals. They take care of the Guardians. So it's going to be a good series. I just think the Dodgers are the best team. The Yankees really haven't been tested like the Dodgers have been up to this point. So I like the Dodgers, guys. Take care of business. I'd take L.A. My guess would be Dodgers in 6, I think, get it done.
Yeah, PJ, if you had any thoughts on the NBA tonight, if anybody wants to play here, you've got 10 games tonight. You've got Milwaukee actually giving up points in Philadelphia. That's because Philadelphia's not playing their top 2 stars. Is there anything on the NBA schedule tonight that jumps out at you?
One play I do like, Gene, is going to be the under in Memphis and Utah at 228.5. So my advice to people out there, guys, betting the NBA early on in the season is I like betting these teams that have a lot of continuity, right? I mean, obviously in the offseason there's trades, there's different free agent pickups. Some of these teams are trying to work out the chemistry and work out the kinks with the two new pieces. Just look at last night's games, right? I mean, you obviously had the Knicks and the T-Wolves as the two losers, and both of those teams were involved in a big trade. And then you had the other two teams, and the Lakers and the Celtics, who returned their starting lineups and all their key players. So those teams, I think, have the upper hand early on in the season when they kind of know each other, when it's time for each of the stars to take turns. They understand defensive assignments. They kind of know where everybody's going to be. Whereas the Knicks and the T-Wolves, for some of their big players that they're relying on this year, it's going to take them a little bit of time. So for this Memphis-Utah game tonight, I like the Grizzlies a lot this year in the Western Conference, but they were so beaten up last year with injuries. But, man, you look at their roster with Marcus Smart and Jaren Jackson Jr. and Zach Edey. I mean, they're going to be one of the best defensive teams in the NBA this year. So I'm not looking to bet Minnesota, like, on the spread because I'm a little bit worried about it taking them some time to gel. But I'm not concerned about their defense at all. They're going to be able to guard. And going up against Utah tonight, who's going to be one of the bottom five teams in the NBA, I think it's a good start for them. So under 228.5 in Utah and Memphis.
Hey, PJ, quick philosophical question for you. If you're somebody who does some wagering and you get offered the cash out, do you ever take the cash out when it's offered to you? And I'm asking... Well, I'm asking for me because you just made a real compelling argument about the World Series and your Dodgers pick over the Yankees. Somebody who got the Yankees, I thought, at a pretty good value at the start of the postseason. That cash out does look a little bit enticing. And you know, you typically, if I stick with the Yankees, that almost ensures that New York will be losing the World Series.
Yeah, I mean, usually, Danger, I don't cash out, especially on a future. I try and hedge it if I can. I think for somebody who's in your spot that maybe have a future on the Yankees, like what I would do personally if you don't want to cash out is you can look to hedge it in a way where you take the Dodgers at -1.5, you know, and you get some plus money on them at +155. So that obviously if they take game one and you're in a little bit of a hole and they take game two and they're up 2-0, well, you got that +155 ticket on the Dodgers. And then look, you can come right back and bet some more Yankees to win the series because you know that you're going to get more plus money on it. So obviously you can take the cash out, make yourself some more money, but I like to hedge a little bit and try and find different ways that I can still bet into the series and maybe even find a way to win myself more money. So my advice to you and everybody out there is if you're thinking about a cash out, I'd honestly just hedge by maybe taking the Dodgers on an alternate line. And obviously that way, if the Dodgers, you know, win in 4, 5, or 6 games, you cash that ticket. And if the Yankees win the series, then you got your future to look back on. And if it goes to a game 7, then you can either just ride out your ticket or you can come right back and bet the Dodgers on the money line. So some different ways you can attack it. You can certainly cash out. But me personally, I always look to try and hedge certain things.
Excellent advice from PJ Glasser. See, it's fun talking about the Yankees and Dodgers. For us Mets fans, PJ, we just can look back. What a fun series that was, all three of them. And now we look ahead, and you're worried about who might leave this team, the guy who the first baseman who hit all the home runs. Why am I drawing a
blank? Oh, yeah, the Polar Bear. What? That's his nickname, right? They call him the Polar Bear?
Yeah. Why am I drawing a blank here?
Pete Alonso, you know, he was an absolute beast this season for the Mets. Personally, guys, I cannot wait for this World Series. And, man, that Yankees outfielder that they have, not the guy in center,
no.
But the guy in right
Greg
field.
Ryan, right, yeah.
Yeah, I know. He's clutch.
Trudeau!
Yes.
Oh, Juan Soto. Oh, God, Soto.
I'm fearful that I'm going to get a meme from PJ at like 7:15 Sunday night here about Geno Smith.
Here we go. PJ, it's great having you on with us, man. Appreciate the time. Let's talk again next week.
Always a pleasure, fellas. Good luck. Talk to you guys next week.
You got it. PJ Glasser is the host of Send It In on the BetQL Network. You can find it in the free-to-download Odyssey app. You can find it on YouTube and Twitch. And our Odyssey Sports Betting Insider Calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app.
Love that guy. Just plays along. Yeah.
The absolute best. And giving you good advice, too. I mean, if you're somebody like me, you know, look, I don't know exactly what's going on. This guy is in it. He's that advice about cashing out. Like, I never really want to cash out. I feel like that's a coward move, right? I want to cash out and just take what they're offering. I don't like that.
Well, sometimes you might have to. Maybe, but like when you place the future and like circumstances change and you might, you know.
The hedge is nice, though. I like what he's talking about there, and that might be the way to play it. However, I kind of like the Yankees. I still kind of like the Yankees to win this series.
See, what I like, you know, there are many things I like talking about, PJ, but like talking about the square money versus the sharp money, and I'm glad we kind of landed on the BYU game. Wait a second. They're ranked 11th. They're 7-0. They're taking on a team with a losing record, but BYU is getting points. Why?
Because the pro money is coming
in. The pro
money,
yeah. So don't be like, that's like, oh my gosh, that's a great deal. Yeah. No, it's not.
Yeah. Central Florida. That's the pick. Love PJ for sharing that wisdom with us. And let's all get some winners. Let's make some money this weekend in college and pro football. And maybe even the World Series as well. We'll get Jim Riley in here next to the Barreled Up podcast, Ball Cap Sports. We'll talk more World Series. We have time for your calls at 866-4326. And I'll explain next in the sports bar why it's not Josh Allen this season as MVP, unless we see something drastically happen here. But the feels like an evergreen topic with Josh Allen and the MVP consideration. And history has shown that at some point, the wheels fall off of the MVP train for Josh Allen. I'll explain.
Okay. What is the second most popular sport in America? I mean, the NFL being number one, and I'm not talking about college football. I'm talking about the four big ones. I'm going to try to make an argument for something you might not expect.
Okay. We've got that and more on the way. Don't forget, Jim Riley of the Barreled Up podcast joining us here in about a half an hour as well. Join us anytime at 866-4326, 585-866-4FAN.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.